In the last days of the last days. Some people say we're living in the last hours of the last hours. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I do indeed believe it is very soon. And I hope you are ready for the Lord to come back. If you're not, you need to get ready for the return, yea, the imminent return of our blessed Redeemer, because he is coming like a thief in the night, the Word of God says. There are certain world events that are certainly taking shape right now as we speak that are pointing to the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, yesterday had the privilege of preaching the homegoing service of Deanna's aunt, Aunt Jessie Ruth Pruitt, and I just thought it was very interesting, the fact that it was on Groundhog's Day. You just had to know Jessie Ruth Pruitt. She was just a lady full of laughter, full of life. I mean, there was never a dull moment around her, I'll assure you. But it reminded me, speaking of Groundhog's Day, it reminded me of the story of the three little children in the Sunday school class. The teacher asked them, said, well, somebody tell us what Easter is all about. One of the children, a little girl, raised her hand and said, I know what Easter is all about. And she said, what? She said, Easter is about when we gather around the table and we all eat turkey and dressing. The teacher said, no, honey, I'm sorry that you're mistaken. That's not Easter, that is Thanksgiving. And the little boy raised his hand and she said, all right, what about you? He said, I know what Easter is. Easter is when we get that tree and we put presents under the tree and we decorate with lights and all of that. She said, no, honey, I'm sorry, but that is Christmas you're thinking about. So another little boy raised his hand and she said, what about it? And he said, well, I know what Easter's all about. He said, Easter's when that man named Jesus died on a cross. And she said, yeah. And he said, and he was buried in a tomb. She said, yeah. You got it. And he said, he came forth from the grave on the third day. She said, you got it. And then the little boy said, and if he sees his shadow, there's six more weeks of winter. She almost got it. He didn't quite get it. But I want to tell you that Jessie Ruth Pruitt, she was a scrapper, you could say. I mean, she loved wrestling. I'm not going to ask you how many of you love wrestling. All through her life, she loved wrestling. And I want you to know, brother, she could about body slam about the average man. She was a sight to see. But I want to preach on this subject. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Countdown to eternity. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. There are three signs of the time that ought to cause every one of us to recommit our lives afresh and anew to the Lord Jesus. There are three signs of the time we're going to see in Luke 21 that ought to cause, if you're here today and you're not born of the family of God and don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, there's some reasons why today is the day of salvation for you. I wouldn't put it off any longer because I don't know, no one knows the time when the Lord comes, but I know the Bible is full of Bible prophecy and declaring that Jesus will come again just like he came the first time. And the third reason, I guess we'll see in the text, as you turn in your Bibles, if you would stand, as we read the wonderful Word of God, Luke chapter 21, we begin reading in verse number 5. Luke chapter 21, verse number 5. And of course, this is a parallel passage to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Countdown to eternity. Countdown to eternity. We're in Luke chapter 21, verse 5. If you're there, say amen. And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone, notice, upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign, look at that, what sign will be there when these things will come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, false Christ, of course, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, and the end is not by and by. And he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and the great earthquakes shall be in divers places, that is, different places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall be from heaven. But look at verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. Notice that. Persecute you, underline that. Delivering you up to the synagogues and to the prisons, being brought before the kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 13. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and you shall be betrayed both by parents, notice, and brethren, and kinfolks, and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated for of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair, look at verse 18, not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are without child, or with child rather, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. Notice verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Underline this next phrase. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Verse 25. And there shall be signs of the sun and the moon and of the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexities, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he's speaking to them a parable, behold, a fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see now of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, that is, intoxication, and drunkenness, and cares. Notice cares of this life. For so that they come upon you unawares. But as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's pray together. Father, thank you now for the word of God. We praise you for the times we've had today just to worship and praise your holy name. Now, God, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. I know there's needs represented here today. And God, I confess my total helplessness and total dependency upon you. I pray, God, that you'll open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our wills, our emotions, yea, our total being. And I pray, Father, please, for Jesus' sake, I know you died for all. Thank you for paying my sin debt in full. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. And I pray now that you'll motivate us, your people, that we'll gather and praise you for the hope and the assurance and the confidence that, God, you've got everything under control. And that you're coming again one day in glory and power. And you told us that we should not be surprised of the things going on in our world. Lord, there's killing in schools and guns and Lord, corruption and wickedness and all kinds of stuff in this old world of ours, Father. You already know about it. Yet you told us, Lord, this world's not our home. We're pilgrims passing through. I pray, God, for those today that are having difficulty. You lift up heavy burdens. You cause us, Father, by your Spirit to be renewed in our spirit. And God, refreshed in our soul, revived in our hearts, that we might serve you until you give us that last breath here on earth. And until we see you face to face. Oh, God, I know the fields are white in the harvest, but the labors are few. Lord, rally your army, even here, right here at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. Lord, to be busy about your business, throwing out the lifeline, rescuing the perishing, and warning people to flee from the wrath to come. We thank you now for the blood of the Lamb. We praise you now for the Word of God forever settled in heaven. We bless you for the power of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Lord, souls will get to Jesus today, and the saints will again be refreshed and renewed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. There are three signs of the time found in this passage. First of all, the sign, the terrible sign of the time of the destruction of the temple, and the devil will be satisfied. That's found in verses 5 through verse 11. The terrible sign of the time of the destruction of the temple, and the devil will be satisfied. There's a second sign found in Luke chapter 21. And it's this. Not only a terrible time of the destruction of the temple, and the devil will be satisfied, but number two, it'll be a troubling time of persecution, and the saints will be purified. That's found in verses 12 and through verse 19. But then thirdly, and if we have time, we'll see. And if not, we'll follow up tonight on the message concerning the end time. But then thirdly, you'll notice there's going to be a triumphant sign of the time when Jesus comes and will be glorified. First, notice verse 5 again. Jesus said it this way. He said there'll be terrible signs of the time, the destruction of the temple, and the devil certainly will be satisfied. In Luke chapter 21, let's begin reading in verse 5 once again. Look at Luke 21, verse 5. And some speak of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Two thoughts around this first particular discussion. Number one, the destruction of the temple, or the devastation of the temple. And then number two, the reconstruction of the temple. Can you hear me? If you can hear me in the back, say amen. Do you realize right now that the temple is being prepared to be rebuilt as we speak at this moment? It'll only take 6 months to rebuild the temple. Now, first of all, let's talk about the destruction of the temple. The destruction. Jesus, no doubt, was standing there looking at this massive, humongous temple. Do you realize how big this temple was? Some of the stones that were found in this temple, the smallest stones weighed 2 to 3 tons. And some of the larger stones weighed 50 tons. And some of the most largest of all weighed hundreds of tons. These massive stones. In fact, we're told by builders, Brother Gary, we're told by those that constructed this particular temple, they needed not mortar. The stones were so big, they didn't need to put any mortar in between them. I mean, it was just a massive, massive temple. In fact, we're told by historians that the temple walls were 400 feet in the air. The area which we're talking about here, about 45 acres of the place in which the temple sat. In fact, one historian said this, said that you could put in that temple, or at least in the around that area, 250,000 people, a quarter of a million people. There is not a sporting stadium or arena in the United States that would even compare to putting 250,000 people in it. Now you get a little inclination of what kind of massive temple we're talking about. And Jesus said, not one stone will be left standing. Well, what did it mean? No doubt there's a double dual prophecy fulfillment in this text. Number one, Titus, the Roman general, stormed into Jerusalem and devastated the temple. That is according to historians such as Josephus and others. And yet, listen, this temple was just unbelievable. But I need to give you a little background because I want you to look at verse 24 of Luke chapter 21. And we're talking about countdown to eternity. Look at verse 24 of Luke chapter 21. Look at this. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, the prophecy, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Here's the phrase I want you to get. This has been ringing in my heart for some time. Actually, for several years. Never preached on this text of until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But it's been on my heart for at least 10 years. And here it is in verse 24. Until the times, the last part of it, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What did Jesus mean by that? When is that supposed to take place? What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about, if you want to take notes or if you'd like to, we won't have time to look at it all, but let me just take you back to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He called in his soothsayers and his astrologers and asked them to interpret his dream. Nobody could interpret his dream, but Daniel came and said, Nebuchadnezzar, here's the interpretation of the dream. There are going to be four world empires that will dominate planet Earth. And Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, first there'd be the Babylonian kingdom, which, by the way, did happen, and then there'd be the Medo-Persian kingdom. Thirdly, there'd be the Grecian kingdom under Alexander the Great. Fourthly, there would be the Roman Empire. And then, not only that, but Daniel saw in Daniel 2, in Daniel 7, in Daniel 9, you can look it up and check it out. All of those texts indicate that Daniel saw another world power coming into domination, namely, as many scholars believe, what is called the revived Roman Empire. Many believe that right now is the European Union. Right now, as we speak, will be the headquarters of the Antichrist, who will come back and will emerge after the rapture of the church. And so, here's what I'm saying. Until the times of the Gentiles, that phrase found in Luke 21, 24. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles, namely the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Grecians, the Romans. After the last king of Judah was sitting on the throne, Zedekiah, God dethroned, remember, because of the people's wickedness. And then from that point on, there have been Gentile rulers, not Jewish rulers, Gentile rulers. And listen to me, brother and sister, if you want to study Bible prophecy, you will know that the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. Well, when is that going to take place? According to Bible prophecy, according to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, according to Revelation chapter 13, according to other passages of scripture in the book of Ezekiel, as well as Zechariah, the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled at the conclusion of the tribulation, when Christ comes back again in glory and power. Not in the rapture, mind you, but when he comes back after the 7 years of tribulation, I believe in what is called him coming in the revelation. Then, at that point, at the conclusion of the battle of Armageddon, where the blood is said to flow the height of the horse's bridle, 200 miles long, then the Lord will make his way into Jerusalem, and there will be a temple rebuilt. And guess what? He is going to sit on his throne, and that will be the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled when Jesus sits on his throne. And praise God, he's coming one day, and I'm ready for him to come. Are you? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, brother, I'm telling you, it's later than you think. It really is. And all of this is being fulfilled. All of this is, the temple right now has been decimated and destroyed. But according to Daniel 9, and according to what's taking place right now in Israel, as I mentioned a moment ago, they have 28,000 priests that are ready. The garments are ready. The red heifer's ready. They're already ready. In fact, I said just a moment ago, 6 months to rebuild the temple. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but many, if you really study Bible prophecy, you understand there will be the temple of the Antichrist, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, where Paul wrote and said, that day, the day of the Lord, will not come except there first come a falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes it and exalts himself above all that is called God, So they sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The devil's always wanted worship. And there's going to be a temple rebuilt. I don't know when. I don't know all the details, but I know this. A temple will be rebuilt, and the Antichrist will sit in the temple and want to be worshipped as God. Now, there are other Bible scholars who tell us there will be not only the Antichrist temple, but there'll also be the Lord Jesus will rebuild his temple, found in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse number 12. And he will sit on his throne. But you know what? I want to point out a word in case you just read over it and didn't necessarily pay that much attention to it. Look at verse 20 again in Luke chapter 21. Look at verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Matthew uses a term called the abomination of desolation. How many know that term? Abomination of desolation. Somebody put it this way. They said abomination of administration. Abomination of administration. Wait a minute. No. You'll get it later. You'll think about it later. The abomination of desolation, not administration. Hello. But what is this talking about? It's talking about the Antichrist will come and defile the temple. Now, mind you, Bible scholars, I understand very clearly that the Word of God teaches that history has been fulfilled. You know, when you read Bible prophecy, you need to understand that sometimes there's dual meanings and dual prophecies predicted. For example, in 167 A.D., Antiochus Epiphanes came and defiled the temple. And that was a historical event. However, at the same time, there's a futuristic event when the Antichrist, this man of sin, this lawless one described in Daniel chapter 11, will come into the temple and will defile the temple. Again, he will sign a covenant with the Jewish people at somewhat after the rapture of the church, and there'll be peace and harmony. That's why many believe Ezekiel 38 will be fulfilled after the rapture of the church, because there'll be peace and harmony, so-called, only after 3.5 years of the tribulation to break that covenant halfway through, and severe persecution will take place. I said all that as a background leading into Luke 21. Jesus said that this sign, the temple will be destroyed, but the temple will be rebuilt. And he's talking about the end time scenario. You say, okay, Brother Pastor, that sounds good and wonderful, but how does that relate to me? I read a story by Michael W. Smith. Anybody know Michael W. Smith? Michael W. Smith is a singer, and he wrote a book called Simple Blessing. In the book, and I thought about how this Antichrist and this time, this end terrible time, where the destruction of the temple and the devil will be satisfied. There was a young man by the name of Kyle. He went to a high school. He was a freshman in high school. And there happened to be another young man named Justin. Justin was very popular. Kyle was just a new boy at the school. And one day walking home from the school, Justin noticed that Kyle had been knocked down. Some bitter boys were marching around him, pushing him. His glasses fell off. His books were scattered all over the ground. And for some reason or another, Justin almost just walked by without paying any attention. But for some reason or another, he felt impressed in pity on Kyle. He stopped and he said to those big boys, "Leave him alone." He got Kyle's glasses. He got his books scattered out all over the place. And he helped him back home, and just out of the pity of his heart for Kyle, he invited him to come to throw the football. The story goes that they played football for a few minutes, and next thing you know, they were good friends from that point on. But little did Justin know that on the graduation, Kyle would be nominated as the valedictorian of his class. Kyle, that young man who was had glasses and the bullies had knocked his books and his glasses off. But later, as befriending with Justin, he became valedictorian. Now here's the point. The point is this, that Kyle stood up to share his valedictorian speech, and Justin had no idea that Kyle would say what he said. Kyle said this. He said, "Y'all don't know this, but one day after I'd been picked on over and over again at school, I was cleaning out my locker. I was getting all my books where my mama wouldn't have to come down to the school and clean it out. I was going home and I was going to end my life. I was going to end my life. My books were scattered. I was tired of living." And he said, "But it was a young man named Justin that came in my life, that God gave me hope. And he said, I'm here today because Justin came and made friends with me. I wonder how many of you know right now that are depressed and discouraged. How many young people see others picked on and others that are feel like giving up? Or maybe you pick on somebody yourself. Listen, Jesus said, I'm coming again one day. And maybe today God is convicting you about maybe how you treat other people. How you help them or you don't help them. Or you call them names or you pick on them. Or you separate them from you. Oh, listen, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have loved one for another. You know, teenagers and young people are, and adults too, for that matter, are bad about cutting each other down and criticizing each other and calling each other names and being ugly to each other. And I believe today God's speaking to some of us today that we need to get to the altar and ask God to forgive us. And we need to get to the altar and say, God, I've been critical toward this person and I've had a self-righteous attitude toward this person. And Lord, I know this is grieving your spirit. And Lord, I want to be a spirit-filled Christian. I've had a bad attitude. I've had a negative thoughts in my mind about this particular person. We're talking about countdown to eternity. Number one, the terrible sign of the time, the temple will be destroyed and the devil will be satisfied. Number two, there's a second sign of the time found in Luke 21. The Lord spoke my heart this week about, and it's this. Number two, there'll be troubling times, the troubling signs of the time of persecution, and the saints will be purified. I want you to see this. Look at verse 12 again. Look at verse 12 again. Look at this. Jesus said this will be indicative of the last days. Certainly we're living in the last days. And I realize this is also futuristic as well. Verse 12, if you're there, say amen. But before all these signs of the time, before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Don't miss that. Verse 13. It shall turn to you for a testimony. Set it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed. Look at this. Both by parents. Who'd ever thought children are killing parents and parents are killing children? Brother, we're living right there now. Verse 16. You shall be betrayed by parents and brethren and even kinfolks. And friends, and some among you shall they cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. I like this verse 18. But there shall not a hair on your head perish. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 19. And your patience possess your souls. Here's what the Lord showed me. There are three parts to what I want to share. Troubling signs of the time of persecution. The saints will be purified. How many know that it's Christian bashing season in America? Can't hear you. How many know that you better buckle up your seatbelt? We're going for a rough ride. How many know it's not going to get any better as far as persecution is going to come? I'm not a bearer of bad news. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. I'm telling you, we better get buckled up to Jesus. We better get serious about serving God because there's coming more persecution our way. We see our nation falling away from God, falling into the hands of the enemy. And brother and sister, our children and grandchildren, they're going to have to stand strong for God and stand up and do right. They're going to need the power of God to live these days with the unction and anointing of God. And grandparents and parents, we need to cry to God and pray and ask God to have mercy and ask God to sustain us because they are going to face severe persecution. More than we have. More than we have. And that's why, listen, young people, look at me. Don't play church. Don't you just come, sit soak and sour, do business with God, repent of your sin, get full of Jesus, get rid of that bad attitude, get rid of that selfish, it's all about me, myself, and I. You better get buckled up to Jesus, because I think that there's going no doubt, according to the scripture, Paul said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Listen to me, young people. It's so much easier to go along to get along. It's easier just to float down the river like a dead fish. But it takes a live fish to swim against the river. Amen. God help you to be a soldier of the cross.
It's easy to praise God when everybody around here likes you. Can I get an amen? What's hard is getting out in that old world when you're not liked and you're not. And that's where I think the power of God. And some of us, when we gather together on Sunday, we gather for encouragement. We get our batteries charged up, but we got to get back out in that old world with the power of God, with the glory of God, and see this old dark world. They can't put out the light. Praise God. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Brother and sister, look at me. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. He said, oh, but if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Why, some of us right here today, we've been compromising. We'd rather have the world's approval rather than have Jesus' approval. I want you to know it's going to be far better to have Jesus' approval than the world's. Go ahead and say, it don't matter. And some of you have got jellyfish backbone. You won't stand up for truth. You won't stand up for righteousness. Why? Because you're afraid you're going to get ridiculed. You're afraid you're going to be laughed at. You're afraid people are going to talk about you. I'm not talking about being an old self-righteous Pharisee, but I'm saying this. Stand strong in the Lord. Stand strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. Have you heard of the pastor's name? Louis Giglio. Louis Giglio was asked to have the invocation in the presidential inauguration. He's a pastor from Atlanta, Georgia. But you know what? I'm talking about persecution. That crowd dug deep, traced way back in the 90s. Early 90s, to dig up some stuff he had said about a marriage being between a man and a woman, and that homosexual lifestyle is not of God. And that crowd dug up some of that dirt, and they said, we are going to have him to remove his name off the list of the inauguration because he's not a compromiser. Well, I guess that's the good news for him, amen. But I'm telling you, listen. Jesus said in Luke 21, he said, I love it. Watch this. Don't miss this. He said, your insecurity will be turned into security. Not only that. Don't miss this, brother. Don't miss this, sister. He said, your test of faith will be turned into testimonies of faith. Let me say it one more time. Your test of faith. Is anybody, your faith being tested now? Is anybody right now going through the fires now? Is anybody, God got you in the furnace of affliction now? Your faith being put to test. Look at this if you don't believe me. Look at verse 13 of Luke 21. Look at verse 13. Jesus said, and it shall turn to you for a... Somebody help me. Luke chapter 21 verse 13. It shall turn to you for a... testimony. Jesus said, listen, they're going to persecute you. They persecuted me. They nailed me to the cross. They're going to persecute you. And the friend of this world is not a friend of God, because God's not a friend of the world. And listen, he said this whole world's not a friend of grace. He said they're going to persecute me. They're going to persecute you. But he said the test of your faith being much more precious than of gold. He said it's going to turn into a testimony. I'm telling you, this old world can say you can stop all that preaching. You can stop all that talking. You can put out all of that. But listen, every time in church history you trace it, where people were burned to the stake, thrown to wild beasts, devoured by lions, and beheaded for their faith in the gospel. Watch this. Every place a person was beheaded. By the way, what if somebody came in here with machine guns right now as I speak? It's all right, Christians, line up on this side. We're going to kill every one of you. Those who want to go free, line up over here and go. How many would you run out the door? He that loves his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Your test of faith will be turned into testimonies of faith. Your insecurity will be turned into security. Did you see what Jesus said? He said in verse 18, not a hair of your head will perish. Aren't you glad we're kept by the power of God? Aren't you glad one plus God's a majority? Aren't you glad that if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, God's calling some men and women to get serious, to be soldiers, to stand up for truth and righteousness, to make a difference in our community. It doesn't matter what the devil thinks. Thank God he's going to be thrown in hell one day. Listen, brother and sister, I want to urge you on. Our tests of faith are going to be turned into testimonies of faith, and our insecurity is going to be turned into security. And then that's not all. But our movable faith will be turned into immovable faith. I'm going to stand, so help me God. I don't care if anybody else stands or not. I'm going to stand. Look what Jesus said. Verse 19, Luke 21. In your patience, possess your souls. That immovable faith, praise God. The world might be doing this, and the church might be doing this, out and yonder in the world, ordaining this and that, and compromising here and there. But God said, your test of faith will be turned into a testimony of faith, and your insecurity will be turned into security. Praise God. God said, I'm going to be with you. I just believe God will see us through the end. How many believe that God's going to see us through the end, no matter what? How many have already determined your heart? You're going to follow Jesus. You've come too far now. You're not going to back down now. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. I've come too far now. I can't turn back now. There's no turning back. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. Yes, Lord. Yes, you're our commander. Yes, you're our king. You, King Jesus, are the one we sign our loyalty and our allegiance to. You know, sometimes just in the nick of danger, whether we be martyrs tomorrow, nobody knows. I know we live in God Bless America. Thank God for the freedom to worship. But brother, how many know our freedoms are being taken away? Like that. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. More and more freedoms. More and more Muslims are entering this country. More and more world religions are entering this country. More and more pluralistic society is infiltrating our world. I'm telling you, you better get anchored in the Word of God. You better not just have some kind of emotional goosebumps when you come to church. You better get anchored in the Word of God. You need Holy Ghost power. We need God to transform our minds and our lives to help us stand and have it in all to stand. Amen. Yes, sir. A train was riding in Indiana, 24 miles an hour. You say, that doesn't sound like very much. A 6,200-ton train, brothers, hard to stop. 24 miles an hour, the train is going. The engineer and the conductor of the train look out. They say, what is that out on the track? Is it a dog? Robert Moore, a Vietnam vet, 49 years old, says, no, I see blonde hair. It's an infant. It's a toddler. It's a little girl. What are we going to do? Panic. Pandemonium. Stop the train. What are we going to do? Stop this train. Can you stop a 6,200-pound train? No, not hardly. Not on a dime. And the girl is getting closer and closer, and this little girl named Emily Marshall, she wandered away from her mother. Her mother was picking flowers. No idea that her daughter is there on a train track, and the train is coming down the track. And what's going to happen? Here the train comes closer and closer and closer and closer. And finally Emily looked up, and you could see there was a startled face on this 19-month-old little girl. And yet she couldn't get off the track fast enough. She was clinging in shock. What do you do? Robert Moore, the conductor, said, there's no other thing I've got to do. So he crawled out on the engine of that big old train, 6,200-ton train. And as they got closer and closer to little Emily, she was hanging on the track. And all they could think of, that she'd be mangled on the track. But Robert Moore hung on to that engine, and right in the nick of time, he kicked her like a field goal kicker and kicked her off the track. She fell down the hill. He jumped off the train, picked her up. She had a cracked tooth, chipped tooth, and a swollen lip. He saved her life. I want you to know, I got to thinking about that. Isn't that like the Holy Ghost of God? The devil and all of his imps of hell, they're coming after us. They're trying to railroad us. They're trying to run over us.
Is anybody in a battle today? Not against the flesh and blood.
But you sense the principalities and powers. They don't like you serving God. They don't want you to serve the Lord with gladness. They don't want you concerned. They don't care if you play church now. They don't care if you're just one of those backslidden, lukewarm, complacent children of God. They don't care if you're one of those whiners and complainers and murmurs. They don't care about that. But they do care if you are going to... They're going to get you anyway, so you might as well serve God anyway. But watch, and that old devil, he tries to railroad us. He tries to run over us with discouragement. He tries to run over us with depression. But thank God, hear me. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God hangs on that engine. And just in the nick of time, when the devil would love to kill us and take us out of the battle, the Holy Ghost field goal kicks us into God's will once again. Aren't you glad? Oh, bless the Lord. There's a third sign of the time, and we'll be done. It's Luke 21. First, there's a terrible time. Terrible sign of the time. We just talked about it. Secondly, troubling sign. Thirdly, there's a triumphant sign. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, count down to eternity. What's the triumphant sign? Jesus coming in the clouds. Look at this again. Verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And then the Lord said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. That word redemption, by the way, means hope. Is there anybody here that's given up hope? Is there anybody here that feels like, man, I've been down, I've been discouraged? That word redemption there is used there also in the book of Acts. And it means hope. Praise God, Jesus is coming again. Before the Lord comes again, he said there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be pestilences. There are going to be earthquakes in divers places, different places. They're going to be false Christ rising in my name. And not only that, but in Matthew 24 and 12, Jesus said that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But oh, brother and sister, listen. Is there anybody here getting a little homesick for heaven? Anybody here getting a little homesick for heaven? We sang the song. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. I'm telling you, Jesus said he's coming again. That is our hope, yea, that is our assurance, to know that we're just here for a little while. He is coming back for his children, and this is the testing ground. This is the battleground. We are meant to be more than conquerors in Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. I'll close with a story. I read a story about a man by the name of Dixon, William Dixon. William Dixon's wife had passed away. He lived in a particular neighborhood. And he noticed his neighborhood, his neighbor's house caught on fire. William just looked out the window, watched the neighborhood going by. But he saw the house on fire, and he ran out in the road and said, as the neighbors gathered and the grandmother was rescued from the house, but the house was engulfed with flames. And William said, is there anybody else in there? Is there anybody else in there? Is there somebody else? And the grandmother said, yes, my grandson's in there, but the flames are such nobody can go to that house now. And she just began to weep and cry. William looked around and he found a pipe, a metal pipe on the outside of the house. And he began to climb up that metal pipe, even though it was on fire. And he climbed up that red hot pipe, and he finally made his way to that window, and he opened it up, and there was that little grandson. He grabbed him and he brought him down that red hot pipe and saved that little boy. The grandmother caused a smoke inhalation, died. And the community gathered together and said, well, who would this grandson be able to live with? And as they gathered together at a town hall meeting, one said, I would like to keep the boy. I believe I could make him a good home. Somebody else said, but I think I'll keep him. I'd like to give him a good home. And the story says that William Dixon walked up to the front, held his hands out, bandages, scarred from climbing. climbing up that pipe burned terribly. And he didn't even have to say a word. He said, I like the boy. Needless to say, unanimously, because of the nails, the scars in his hand, he gets the boy. I want you to know one day there's going to be a nail scarred Jesus coming back for his people. Oh, yes, he is. He said, I bought you with my own blood. I died on the cross, and here's the proof, Father. I'm going to get my children one glorious day in the near future. I don't know when, but we're counting down to eternity. Jesus will usher in his glorious power, and the saints are to gather together on the sweet by and by. And thank God forever we're going to be with the Lord. That's the hope. That's the assurance. And thank God he's with us right now. I wonder if you stand to your feet.